Thank you, Pastor Lawrence. Powerful reminder that God transcends all of our circumstances and makes us more than conquerors through his love for us. Well, we're going to continue in our study in the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 8. We are in probably one of the most encouraging and challenging portions of Scripture that at least it's one of my favorites. In the passage that we're going to read today, we find ourselves being transformed with a new mindset, a new motivation, a new family, a new future, and a new inheritance. All through the powerful work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Just a quick reminder from last week, we have victory in Jesus through what he's done on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ died, he took his rightful place as King and Lord. When Jesus Christ died, he took sin upon himself and he became the sin offering so that he could condemn sin. So that we no longer would be condemned, but he condemned and broke the very power of sin, giving us victory through his name and through his actions on the cross. In verse 5, he reminds us how we ought to live based on what Christ has already done. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You see, we need a new mindset. We need our minds to be changed and transformed, because those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. First of all, I need to go back and address a translation issue with this verse. First of all, if you read a New American Standard or King James or the New King James, then it says the mind controlled by the flesh is death. In the NIV, I like the way they translate it. It says, who live according to the sinful nature. The word that Paul uses here, Paul uses two different words that he uses to translate as flesh in English. The first one is the word soma. Soma is literally physical flesh. It's my flesh and bone. Soma is the meat on my bones. And when Paul uses that, he's talking about the physical body. Now, Paul, the more common term that Paul uses when he's contrasting the flesh and the spirit is the word sarx. Sarx is a Greek word that literally means humanity in all its weakness, fallenness, and propensity to sin. Sarx, when he's talking about, Paul's not talking about the physical body at this point. He's talking about humanity in all of its weakness, fallenness, and its propensity to sin. And so as he uses this, the sinful nature better translates the idea that Paul's trying to communicate by the word sarx. But the sinful nature we often think of as an action or it's our desire to do something wrong. But sarx, in translating and understanding that sarx means humanity in all its weakness, I want you to begin to understand that what God is dealing with through the power of His Spirit is the humanity, sarx, in all of its weakness and its failures and its ill desires and everything that's going on within you. So all of your brokenness, all of your failures, all of your fears, everything that would degrade humanity and place you on a lower level, all those things that your desires that you strive after, the things that you think will make you complete, all those are come under this term sarx. It's in all of your weakness. If you have a fear that's preventing you from doing something, then that is manifesting itself in your flesh. If you have a difficulty or a circumstance or a brokenness in your life, somebody has hurt you in the past and they've wounded you so deeply that you're having difficulty moving beyond that. It's included in this. Paul's not just talking about the sins that you've committed. The NIV leads you to believe that, well, we're only talking about the sinful nature. But Paul, when he uses the term sarx, also wants to communicate that humanity in all of its weakness, in all of its brokenness, in all of its failure. And so what God has done on the cross of Calvary is He's taken sin upon Himself. He's condemned sin and He's poured out His Spirit. And because He's poured out His Spirit, He's given us now an option. We can choose to operate our lives out of the reality of humanity's brokenness and weakness and fallibility and failures. Or we can choose to live our lives out of the power of the Spirit of God. And it's our choice. We have the ability to choose between one or the other. If we choose to live in the flesh, then my brokenness will determine how I respond. If I choose to live in the flesh, then my failures will determine how I live my life. If I live in the flesh, then all of my past woundings will be projected on everything else that I do, and I will respond out of the natural behaviors brought about by those woundings and those failures and that weakness. You see, if I respond in the flesh, if I live in the flesh, then everything that's gone before me, my circumstances, situations, my dealings, my depression, you name it, whatever's gone before you will color the way you respond. And if you respond in the flesh, then that's what is making you or motivating you to respond. Paul says, there's another way. And the other way to respond is not out of your own weakness, but it's out of the power of God's Spirit dwelling within you. And you know what? When Jesus Christ went to the cross, He took my brokenness. He took my fears. He took my failures. He took my fallibility. He took all of that and he nailed it to the cross and he gave me victory over that. So when I live according to the Spirit, I don't have to satisfy the desires of my flesh. I can live in the power of the Spirit. So my response is no longer colored by my past circumstances. My response is now colored by the grace of Almighty God and the power of His Spirit working within me. There's a vast difference between the two. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard when you're over here and you have people. People are my weakness. And sometimes they do things. And I can... And sometimes it's hard because they do things that are just so incredibly stupid, I can't wrap my mind around it. And it drives me crazy. And it irritates me. And then I'm reminded, no, 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 no. No, I can't operate out of that because you see, when they do something like that or you know, when they call me a name or imply I'm ignorant or something like that, instantly my flesh goes back to where I was a child. And I feel the same shame and embarrassment as when my mother would say, "You're stupid." And instantly I want to respond. I want to scream. I really want to scream. I just want to do it. And everything within me wants to prove that I'm not what your opinion says I am. And instead, you have to take a deep breath and go. And most of the time, it doesn't work for me, but I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. And I'm trying to get there. So that I no longer live out of my brokenness or my weakness or my fallibility or my failures, but I'm trying desperately and asking God, God, give me your Spirit so that I can see as you see, so I can reason as you reason, so I can respond as you would have me to respond. So I respond not out of the flesh, not out of my weakness, not out of my failures, but I respond out of the power of God. And that's the way God wants us to live. You see, we need a brand new mindset, and it starts right here. Because those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Ooh, I want a new car. Ooh, I want a new house. Ooh. And you know, the more your mind begins to, you know what? I can just take a shortcut here or a shortcut there. You know, I can make double time on Sunday, so if I work every Sunday, I can afford that new car. Or you know what? You think God's going to miss my little tithe? Probably not. I'll just keep it. Surely God wants me to have a new car because He's going to bless me if I have a new car. It's going to be a blessing and God will be happy. And by the way, I'll tell everybody God gave me the new car. No kidding. He paid for it. Mind led by the flesh is controlled by those things that the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Living over here, can't please God. I want to, but the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't do, those things I keep on doing. And I want, and oh, it's frustrating. But those controlled by the Spirit find peace and life and contentment. We not only need a new mindset, we need a new motivation. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, boy, that's good news, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Those controlled by the sinful nature is death. Those who controlled by the Spirit of God is life, and he will give life to your mortal bodies. God will raise you up. He will give you newness of life. I was thinking about that last night. I woke up in the middle of the night, and a song was rolling around my head. It's called the Same Power. And as I read this, I wanted you to understand something. I wanted you to hear it. Because Paul says it very, very clearly. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is the same power that's residing within you. The same Spirit that gave sight to the blind, that restored the crippled and the lame, that rose the people from the dead, that called Jesus back from the grave. That same Spirit, that same power is operating within you. I'm not, you're in the flesh, I'm nothing, I'm weak, I'm miserable. But in the Spirit, it's not me working, but in the Spirit, God's power is at work within me. I have power, I have strength, I have peace, I have life. My mortal body is raised up. Why? Because the same power that brought Jesus out of the tomb after 3 days is the very same power that's operating in my life, enlivening me and giving me hope and peace and joy and all of those things. And guess what? That same Spirit that called him back from the grave is the same Spirit that called me back from death and gave me newness of life. And it's that Spirit that's operating within us. It's good news. That's really good news. Because not only did that same Spirit call Jesus back from the grave, that same Spirit empowered him to lead a sinless life. That same power that is rose Jesus from the grave, that is working in me, that gave him the power to lead a sinless life, that honored and revered God. That same Spirit is living in me. And because Christ has conquered sin, then I can live the life that God wants me to. Sin no longer has mastery over me. It has been condemned. I have been given life, and I can live in a manner that pleases and honors God. Why? Because sin is defeated, and I don't have to serve a defeated enemy. It has been put under Christ's feet, and I have been given the victory through Jesus Christ. That's really good news. I've been given life. And not just any life. I've been given victorious, abundant life through the Spirit of God living in you. So we have a brand new motivation. The motivation is I can live over here, and I can strive, and I can struggle. And in my own power, I can try to make something of my life, and I can be defeated, and I can face setbacks, and I can keep responding out of my empty resources, and I can keep doing what I've always done, and I'm going to keep getting what I've always gotten, and I'm just going to keep, you know, just kind of shuffling along, trying to wait through life, hoping that one day I'm going to die and this is all going to be over. Or I can turn around and I can offer myself fully, and can allow Jesus Christ to do in me what he wants to do, and I can have peace and power and love and joy, and I can have all the resources of the Spirit of God at my disposal. And I don't need a new car because I've got Christ, and I don't need a new house because I've got Christ, and I don't need a new spouse because I've got the love of God who can teach me to love the one I've got the way I ought to. You see, I don't need all of that stuff that my flesh desires because I've got everything that God wants for me, and he's given it to me freely. In him. What's my motivation? You choose. I've never met anybody who's going through a struggle who says, wow, I really like it. It's fun. You know, I live paycheck to paycheck, and I can't pay the bills, and my kids hate me. And I hate my job, and my boss is awful, and my life is just a wreck. But boy, is it good. I'd have to ask if they were mentally stable. But I've never met anybody filled with the Spirit of Christ who was walking in victory every day. And they knew the power of Christ. And they knew the peace of Christ. And they knew the love of Christ. And they know the mercy of Christ. And they know the grace of Christ. And they're walking in victory every single day. Says, oh, this is bad. I've never met those people. They're just as mentally unstable. You see, the reality is our new motivation is he has brought us from death and offered us life. And I can't think of anybody who would choose death over life. And so when we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we don't need to beat them over the head. They're living that reality every day. What we need to do is hold forth the truth and offer to them what only God can give them, the life that transforms them from the inside out so they can become everything that he died for them to become. Our motivation becomes life. Not only do we have newness of life, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. You got a brand new family. You're part of the family of God. You got a brand new potential, a brand new possibility. You are sons of God. Orphans controlled by the world. Finding value in what we do and what we can have. Searching for significance in relationships and in the eyes of others. Or being welcomed and loved in a family. Accepted for who we are. Loved enough that they won't leave us there. Cared about enough that they're interested and concerned in all that goes on. Valued enough that the very Son of God would offer his life in exchange for yours. We got a brand new family. And we got a brand new future. Because by the Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. My daughter's, well, she's celebrating the third anniversary of her 29th birthday. Well, she celebrated the third anniversary of her 29th birthday. You can do the math.
Don't do the math. And I don't, you know, I try to fight against it. I really do. The phone will ring. I'll look at my phone. It'll say Jessica. It's like, oh. I'll answer the phone. She does it to me all the time. She starts out and she says, Daddy. What do you want? Daddy. Ooh, stop doing that! And I see her take all 5 foot 10 inches of me, and she just wraps me right around her little finger. And every time she says, Daddy, Daddy, I need you to move this mountain. Okay, let me go get a shovel. Daddy, I need you to fix this. Okay, let me go find out how. Daddy, I need you to do that. Help me. Just whatever it takes, you know, because the love of a father for his children cannot be measured. The love of a father for their children will never end. And all she has to do, we can carry on an intellectual conversation, and I'm not moved. Yep. We can debate philosophy and theology and education and all kinds of stuff. And we can debate. And I just, And then she looks at me. She goes, Daddy. And when she says, Daddy, my heart just melts within me. And it's like, stop it. Stop it. I don't want to do this. Stop it. But I can't help it. Why? Because I love my children. And when my kids come to me and they say, Dad or Daddy, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do so that I can meet their needs. And the best news I got for you today is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he condemned sin and sinful man so that we can cry out, Daddy, and our Daddy will move heaven and earth to do what we need to meet our needs. We've got a brand new family. And his resources aren't limited. My family's resources are, but his are not. And when I cry out to him, Daddy, he will move heaven and earth to give me exactly what I need so that I may become all that he wants me to become. Woo!
We have an obligation. But it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. I've told you my two greatest fears in life. This is true. My two greatest fears in life is fear of failure. And fear of public speaking. I get terrified. You look at me and you're laughing. It's not funny. I had to make a presentation at school. I was in a, my hands. I'm glad nobody wanted to shake my hands beforehand. They were so sweaty, they would have thought, you know, I'd just been swimming. Or hadn't dried off after a shower or whatever. I hate public speaking. I don't like to stand in front of people. I don't like to talk in front of people. And you know what? For some reason, when I cried out, Abba Father, God said, I'm going to use you to preach. And I went, oh, no, you're not. And he went, oh, yes, I am. And oh, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. And you want to know something? When I stand up in here and I open up the Word of God, it's not public speaking, for something God does in me allows me to stand here, not in abject fear, but in confidence that the Spirit of God is going to do in me what I cannot do in myself. And those are the resources he gives to every single one of us. If I operated out of my fear, I would have never taken the first step. But because I operated out of faith, I took the step. And I've seen God transform my life from the inside out because I was willing to accept what he had given to me. And he replaced the spirit of fear and of failure with a spirit of power and of anointing and of peace in Christ. We are called to live in the reality of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his future glory. You know, I know what my earthly inheritance is. My dad worked his whole life, only to have the market crash, erase 65% of his retirement fund, and General Motors reorganize and take the rest of it. And my dad died broke. And when he died, I had to handle his estate. And my brothers and sisters are still wondering what the inheritance is going to be. It's not a mystery to me. I know what it is. There ain't nothing there. You want to know something? That's okay, because I'm not trusting in my earthly inheritance, because I have been made an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ, and in Him I have all that I need. And I thank Him for that. You see, the good news is we can either choose to live in the power of our flesh, in our weakness, in our brokenness, in our fear, and in our failure. But God has given us a better way, and He's calling us to live life in the power of His Spirit, where He'll take the deadness that was there and transform it to newness of life. And if we live in the power of His Spirit, then our life will take on new meaning, purpose, that our lives will begin to matter in ways they never mattered before. Because our past is gone and our future lies wide open before us in the power of Almighty God. And it's our choice. Our choice. Paul says, I know what I choose. Life. And I hope that's the choice for all of us today. Oh, the flesh is going to come knocking. It does often. And somebody will say something, and instantly you'll be transported back to a place of wounding or a place of hurt. And in that moment, we need to realize that this motivation, this impulse, this thought, this feeling, and you need to turn around, you need to open the door and say, go away, because you're dead to me. Because what Christ has done in me has made me alive in Him. And I don't have to respond out of my weakness or failure. I can respond out of the power of God in me. And I do not see myself as broken and crippled and weak. I see myself as alive and powerful and filled with the very Spirit of God, because His Spirit is giving me life. And that's our choice. What choice will you make today? I choose life. So when the flesh comes knocking, tell it to take a hike, because your big brother has already defeated it. And live in the reality of what Christ has done. Heavenly Father, we do thank You.